And welcome to episode 19 of the IsCast. My name is Ben, and I'm here along with Wade and Lee.
Correct. It's just us.
Yep. David's off at RTX. And
if you guys don't remember, RTX is the convention that we went to last year.
Put on by Rooster Teeth, the internet company that produces Red vs. Blue.
Yep, in Austin, Texas.
And soon a movie that, that's something I forgot about. They became the number one funded film on Indiegogo.
That doesn't surprise me.
Laser team.
They have a huge following, and David was psyched to be a Guardian this year. So he's down there, and no doubt next time he'll be back and telling us all about it.
Yeah. So on our agenda today, we're going to talk about our recent acquisition, the Blackmagic 4K, and we'll talk about all the games from E3 and then some of the summer blockbusters that have come out.
Yes, very important things that you need to hear about. So the last episode, we talked about how we just ordered the Blackmagic and it came like a couple days later. David was unsure if how long it was going to take, but we got lucky. So we did an unboxing video, which is available on our YouTube channel. We also did some test shooting. The RAW update came out, the new firmware, so we were able to test out some shooting at Cinequipped, where David works, in their studio space with one of my friends who did a ballet piece for us. And I can tell you right now that the RAW size, the file sizes for the RAW is enormous. We shot maybe 10 minutes worth of footage and it was 150 gigabytes of space. And but it's awesome because it comes with DaVinci Resolve, which grades it and makes it look amazing. And I love it. Mm-hmm. And you guys haven't gotten to shoot with it yet, but if you want to, I have it.
One less thing to worry about with RAW is what the slightly the exposure, right?
There are still limits. I mean,
you
obviously
just got to worry about good lighting, good focus.
Yes, exactly.
Cinematography.
I did some shooting yesterday outside at the cabin, and you definitely still want to aim for a proper exposure, mm-hmm. but there's more room if you make a mistake, basically.
Yeah.
So,
which is awesome.
So mm-hmm. what's it like working with Resolve then versus doing color correction in, say, Final Cut Pro or something?
It's kind of like if you guys ever shot video before you knew about color correction, and you're just like, no, it looks fine. Like, it's good. And then you started doing color correction, and then you look back and think, oh, what was I doing before? It's kind of like that, the next level. Because
it's like go from SD to HD.
Exactly. It's so much more powerful. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more work and requires you to learn a lot more, but the things you can do make it look so much better than what you were capable of before. So I'm really impressed with it. It's a $1,000 program that you get free with the camera. I think the light version is very similar, but you can't do 4K in it. One thing that I've been experimenting with a lot, if you guys are familiar with online and offline editing, that's something that I've had to start doing for the first time ever, because with NLEs that made it, you know, almost irrelevant. But basically what you have to do is put in your full res footage, send a render out proxies, and those proxies are what you edit with. That's called the offline edit, because it doesn't directly affect the source material. Mm-hmm. You make your edit, you assign your cuts, you export your XML, and you go back and you apply everything to your RAW files, and that's your online edit. So it's this
interesting
same workflow.
Nice.
Totally. So yeah.
You feel more professional now?
So much more professional. We'll see. I don't know, guys, because when you think about it, if we do shooting like all day, that's an enormous amount of space. So I'm hoping
we're gonna need more cards.
I'm hoping
or
that
a good offline computer station.
Yes. What I want to try and do is limit how much RAW we shoot at, because the other color space it records in, it's like REC709 or something. It's got a weird name. It looks really good still, and there's a lot of stuff you can do. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. I want to try and limit the amount of RAW that we do if it's not completely necessary.
Yeah. I think the next test you should do is film something in 4K, but then produce it at 1080 and see what kind of things you can do with editing within the footage.
Yeah. You mean like you might crop in?
Like movement and stuff.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Just
the one thing that
weird stuff
that I noticed with this ballet video that I've been referencing is the whole thing was, well, almost the whole thing was handheld, and a lot of it was on the Steadicam, which, you know, we're still getting the hang of. But a lot of the footage was kind of shaky. The two opening shots, I used Final Cut Pro's stabilization, and it completely stabilized it because there's so much room in 4K to adjust. Yeah, it was really nice to work with. So, that's what we've been doing as a company as of late. Also working a lot in the workshop with our sets and armor. What else is new? We've been doing that for years.
For Dawn Under Heaven.
Yes, yeah. Correct.
Halo fan film.
Which feels really good to like to get some momentum working on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been working on our 3D printer. And
the Proxima.
And having some issues with it, but
it's been sick, but you've
I
been
doctoring
I think
I know what's wrong, but I don't know how to fix it.
What do you got so far? What do you know?
It's probably too technical to, to explain.
You can't possibly understand
it. Just without seeing it. It yeah. just doesn't make sense. But
so are you living
I'm hoping
on the
to
farm,
try
so?
To go on some forums
yeah.
for Altimaker. And
well, you got the first section of the trooper helmet printed. Yeah. Is there any luck with it's the
like, next? Yeah, I did another section, but it printed, but not very well. I figured out my problem. It's called under extrusion. And basically the plastic isn't coming out the way it should. Mm-hmm. And so a bunch of layers in between are gaps, and it makes the model very weak and brittle.
Yeah.
And not smooth at all, and a lot of holes in it. So
it's really interesting because even though we made our 3D printer, you could buy it and still have a lot of issues because
yeah,
it's an emerging technology.
I found a thread with the new one, the Altimaker 2, and the guy was having the same problem.
Really?
But there wasn't really a resolution on it.
Yeah, so we're part of that like early generation of people yeah. testing it out. Eventually, they'll work out all the kinks. Kind of like the Xbox 360 first version with the spinning wheel of death and all that crap
yeah.
that was wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I never encountered that, ever, actually.
Wow.
Neither.
Well, my brother did.
Wow.
My brother
did too.
You had to like attach the fan. Well, you had your ODST disc, was it, that like got scratched when you put the disc in?
Yeah, I think it was because I had it vertical, like the console.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons too, they don't have, because of the slot loading too for Xbox One, you can't put it vertical.
Oh.
They took that away.
Gotcha. So, all right, well, that's what we've been up to lately. There's a lot to talk about with E3. Guys, I don't know if you followed it, but it was pretty, you know, they have their usual giant media presentation that they mm-hmm. do.
I think all of them, like, being on, like, IGN and all those news, like, following some of those
yeah.
guys, like, most of it for them was, like, meh. Like, they didn't, you know, wasn't that great. It was a lot of stuff that they already knew. And
right.
it was just kind of retelling, like, hey, this stuff is coming out later.
You guys, I don't know if you agree, but I'm kind of annoyed when they come across, well, they put on their big presentation and they try and make it like an Apple event mm-hmm. where they're like, this is the next big thing in gaming.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, no, it's games. Like, it doesn't need to be this big overblown, you know, second coming.
Does iPhone need to be that?
Yes. I don't know. Because to me, I mean, it's kind of...
I think a little hype is good.
It's kind of cool, but... Well, you know, I think it's kind of cool, but, like, they just make it so big when I don't think mm-hmm. it needs to be.
Well, I think one of your point is good, that they would come out and be like, I got this thing to tell you, and I'm not going to tell you, watch this video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no...
That's pretty stupid.
That's fine for every now and then, but if you do it
but just start with the video.
Yeah.
Like, I like when they do that, when they're like, they end one and then just go to another video, and you're like, oh, what's this?
Yeah.
Like, that's cool.
It's kind of like movie trailers.
Just say it.
But that's a lot what all of the showcases felt like, was just this person comes up, talks, like, for maybe 2 seconds, and then plays a video, and that's it. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I could have not watched any of E3. I could have mm-hmm. simply just checked my YouTube channel the next day, and I could have...
Yeah. I think it's much better when they actually have people playing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sure.
Like gameplay. They did for, like, Assassin's Unity.
Yeah.
And they actually showed, like, the co-op and, like, 4 people playing.
Right. So... we kind of talked internally a little bit about it, but I want to kind of hash out some of the compare and contrast moments, because the thing is, I have been a Nintendo gamer since I was a kid, so the kid in me wants Nintendo to be really successful.
Are you going back now?
Well, I don't think I need to choose, but...
So you did get a Wii U.
I did get a Wii U.
And you got a DS.
E3 convinced me to get a Wii U. Because I felt like it was with Mario Kart 8, it was finally a good time to buy it.
Has someone done that before, where they did just a pre-recorded show for their announcement?
I think Nintendo maybe did last year. I don't know if they did a presentation.
Hmm.
But I don't know. I really liked a lot of what they showed. Most of it was gameplay, which is really cool. I followed their Twitch account. They did like live streaming of people playing. One of Ellie Rapp, who was... the school president or the class president in my year at Augsburg, she actually works for Nintendo now, and she was on their live stream playing, I think, the Toad game.
They had some big games come out that people didn't expect, like the Toad, Star Fox.
Well, that was announced they were working on.
Yoshi game, yeah.
I think they had the most
surprises.
Yeah. But you know what? I think I have a better idea of why less people our age get into Nintendo stuff in a broad sense, and it's because you see a lot of games that Xbox and PlayStation comes out with that are, they're going for that cool factor, you know, mm-hmm. just like really cool games that may or may not be fun, but they look really cool. Whereas Nintendo, they don't look that cool. They're kind of dorky, but you know, they can be fun to play.
Well, and the interesting thing that that's different between those two is that Xbox and PS3 or Sony and Microsoft, they're always looking for new franchises. However, Nintendo is very loyal to their own franchises.
Yeah.
You don't see them branching out much from Mario or from anything from that universe.
Though,
Star Fox 2, I suppose.
Like, I was thinking about that, though. It's like, what do you get with the other consoles? You get another Assassin's Creed, you get another Halo, you get another Call of Duty.
Well,
like,
that's
they
just
still have their universe, but I think there are some new stuff coming out.
Well, and I think the problem with that, though, is just the annual releases. Like, you have to have an annual game, which you don't. I really don't feel like you do.
I think they're breaking away from that. I think they're going back to at least a 3-year cycle now. I know Call of Duty did that, and they're just having more developers now to...
The one thing that I liked about Sony's press conference is that they brought up a couple of like indie producers, like people that would never have expected to be on E3, and lo and behold, here they are just talking about like their small little game with their team of like maybe like 5 or 6 people or even less, and they're talking to thousands or millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like
which game was that?
No Man's Sky.
Which looked awesome.
Yeah, it's this progressive world game. Basically, they've created an entire universe and kind of entire world with a whole bunch of planets and everything like that. But all these planets, everything that they're populated with are unexplored and unnamed. So if you find a planet, you can name it, and then you can explore that planet and name all like an individual species that live there or whatever. And so if anyone else comes to this planet that you found, they see the name that you titled it, and there's all like this trade and everything involved in it too. So it's not like an MMO, but think of it more like Destiny in the sense that people can pop into your game, but the game world is dynamically changing.
Sure. What do you guys think about the idea of the console wars and like who won E3 and like, I don't know, all that fanboyism?
Less like that didn't really exist in the C3 to me. Like, a lot of the news coverage wasn't about that.
Yeah.
It was just, there's good stuff coming out for Nintendo, Xbox, and PS4.
A lot of...
And whatever console you have,
Okay.
You're looking
good. That's true, and that's a good point. I would see articles, though, that would be like, oh, Microsoft, they went back on the Kinect thing, and they said it would be about game, or like they don't want to try and push their interactive thing anymore.
That's news to talk about news. Like, you're making up a story that you really want to talk about, so
sure.
You have something to talk about.
I think they hold a lot of those people up to standards that just shouldn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I do like about Microsoft, I don't know if PlayStation is doing it. I think they are. They've done a couple updates, but I think they've definitely helped their image with their monthly changes and updates and fixes and getting feedback. And like, I'm on their preview program, so I can get the updates earlier and like go to a special forum and be like, hey, this doesn't work.
Yeah,
kind of help out, and they listen to people, and they're like, hey, people don't want the Kinect, so let's change it, and they did. So instead of not doing it, so
that's true. I do think that it went better for them than it did last year, where there was that whole drama about between Sony and Microsoft about whether or not you can rent games and buy used games
or
something
share
like
your
that.
Game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then they went back on that almost immediately.
Yeah,
kind of
well,
a weird thing.
And I didn't really like that they did that, because what Microsoft was going to end up becoming was probably more like something like Steam. Like, if you're a PC gamer and you look at Steam, you have so many.
That's what I don't understand. Is people love Steam, but that's what Steam is,
It's a different player base.
Of what Xbox was trying to do. And they're
right.
Well, it's a different player base, rabble, though. Because, like, your PC gamers have been used to... But the PC gamers have been used to that for, the past 10 years.
People
well,
it's like
conflict gamers
I don't think it's completely
have been
like,
used to sharing games.
I guess it's hard because it's me. I'm PC and Xbox. There isn't, I'm the Xbox player.
Right,
and that's it. Like, if I had a PS4, I'd play that, too.
Yeah.
And a Wii U.
You guys, I have something kind of interesting I wanted to share with you. And I follow Game Informer a lot. That's one of the main things I look at. Do you guys follow Game Informer?
Yeah, because they're Minnesota based.
Yeah, and I
really? I did not know that.
Yeah, downtown.
Oh, sweet.
I think they're
Wade has a friend that works there.
Well.
Or anymore. Not a
she
friend.
Did. She was the same one who works at Nintendo now.
Oh, okay.
She did work at Game Informer. Anyway, I think they're pretty trustworthy and objective with how they review games.
Oh, yeah.
I put together a list that just because I wanted to get some perspective about the Wii U, the PS4, and the Xbox One. About like how many games they have out that are high rated, and granted the Wii U has been out longer, maybe like a year and a half longer than the other two.
Is the Wii U next gen?
I don't really care about that term. It's just the current one that's out. So
that likes to talk about graphic fidelity and
so you're just talking about the current consoles and the rated games.
Yes,
that they have
exactly. But I don't know. So. I was looking at the current consoles between those three, and how many games are out that Game Informer gave them a gold rating of 9 out of 10 or above. Xbox One, and this is I think pretty current. I checked like a couple days ago. Xbox One has 3, PS4 has 5, and Wii U has 10, and they're all listed right here. And granted, some of the games on Wii U's list are available for the Xbox 360 and the PS3. So take it with a grain of salt, and a lot of these are the old franchises that Nintendo has. But I thought it was kind of an interesting way to look at it, because games like Watch Dogs, you know, and Battlefield 4, these cool games that are next gen, they would top out at 8.5.
Well, that's because they were silver buggy. Rating.
Need for Speed Rivals for PS4. It's on PS4 list, but not on Xbox One. I wonder why, because it's offered.
Really? Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I didn't see it on there, but maybe it is.
Tomb Raider was an awesome game, by the way. I finished that last
night.
I'm
super excited that they announced they're making another one.
Yeah. That felt really good. The ending felt really good to that game.
Yeah.
Don't you guys want go back to the original when she had like an unrealistically large chest?
No.
She had like...
I liked
She had like
version.
Cones for boobs kind of thing.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk about some games that we're excited for that came out at
E3. Ben, what are you excited about for E3?
I'm excited for No Man's Land. Just the idea of having an indie developer.
No Man's Sky?
No Man's Sky. the idea of having an indie dev come in and be that big is cool.
The score we wanted.
Yeah, I think so. The new Battlefront looks awesome.
Yes. Like, was that announced or just teased at?
It was announced last year. Was teased this year. They showed something.
It was weird. I actually liked it because they did a behind the scenes like thing.
You gotta love
the feels from it.
That video they did was awesome. It was like we went back to like the museum and looked at the old props and stuff. That was really cool.
But like when they showed the speeder through the forest.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, that looks like the movie.
Mm-hmm. Or like Hoth. Hoth looked super real. Yeah. And that's like that level of graphics fidelity is I haven't seen that in any other game.
No.
So that was intense.
I think we all played the old Battlefront games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're fun. They're got the older graphic style, and it's in Star Wars, so it's fun. But this is, like, the next, like, order of magnitude above that. So that was cool. What else are you?
The new Lord of the Rings game that's coming out. Which is it's Assassin's Creed, just in Lord of the Rings.
I didn't see that, really.
It's
a little different.
It's a little different, but it looks pretty cool. They have this cool rival system. Where, like, if you don't kill an orc and it gets away, it will remember you the next time it encounters you. And you build rivals and nemesis and stuff.
And even
like that.
If one thing I saw during the demos, that like the after show demos, that I really enjoyed was when you died, like, if you're in a fight with a couple of them and you die, they actually get, like, power increases. So they get harder. Mm. So there's like, little consequences.
That's pretty cool. Is it, like, open world style? Just, like, walk around Middle Earth? Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Yeah.
A couple other games I'm excited for. I'm excited for a lot of games, so I'll try to keep this list short. Evolve looks cool, which is basically four people versus one. The one person is this big monster, and the four people have to try to kill that monster as it evolves and gets bigger.
I haven't really played games that style, like the Team Fortress, but I did sign up for the beta yesterday.
Yeah. Mirror's Edge 2 and then Destiny.
Destiny. Which, Sean, who's not here, he played the alpha.
Yeah.
And I watched his Twitch stream of that. It looked really, really cool.
Does, yeah. I mean, I'm super pumped for it.
Lee, what do you got?
Ooh, it's way too hard.
And wait, are we talking about games that are coming out this year or just announced? Or
just like they were mentioned.
Okay.
And about.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
I have like five. As far as like, I love open world. So that's my.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I love. And that's what like Nintendo doesn't really have.
Yeah.
I'm excited about
it's,
Zelda.
I think it's a hardware limitation.
Zelda, though.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. So that might make me buy Wii U for that. But Sunset Overdrive looks amazing gameplay wise. Like, fun
I don't know
factor.
If I saw that. What's that one?
Definitely check it out. It's. Just this weird, crazy, stupid
shooter thing, comical shooter thing.
Zombie, not really zombies.
Oh yes,
but
I do remember that. That
like
looked cool.
They drink the soda, and
that looked like it had like character. It had wit.
Yeah,
to it.
But yeah. They have this awesome like movement system around the city, which is awesome.
Cool.
And Unity, I'm really excited about.
Unity. Sound like Mimi.
What?
Never mind. Go for it.
Just because of the co-op, really mm-hmm. excited about that.
But there's all the big discussion about like them not having a female character.
Yeah, which I'm a dude, so I can't really.
Yeah,
I don't really have grounds to complain about it. But what was the other one? Oh, the Master Collection for
yes.
the multiplayer.
Oh my god, yes.
Because I'm hoping that brings people back to playing video games online.
Yeah.
Out of my friends.
See, I was never a part of that Halo 2 online play.
Yeah.
I didn't have high-speed internet when I was around, so I never got to play Halo 2 online.
I didn't either Halo 2. Halo 3 is when I got into the online play.
Yep.
Halo 2, we did a lot of LAN work.
Yeah, LAN was Halo 2, yeah. Definitely. And then Arkham Knight.
Ah, yes.
Looks amazing. I love that series.
How many? What number is this one for the Arkham series?
As far as this developer, it's the third one.
Okay.
They did between this one and the last one, they did a different developer for Origins, which I got on the Steam sale, and it's just basically the second game engine and all the assets with a couple added things, and it's still fun, but
cool,
not that great.
Oh yeah, so I totally agree on a couple of those that I really want to get. First of all, the Master Chief Collection. That teaser video for it was really, really, really cool.
How expensive is it going to be? That's my question.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'll be 60.
That's what I would think, because that's kind of like the market value. Because
it has
right
the HD one, too. And that was... Wasn't
well,
that 60?
Well,
it
has
40?
It has more than just one game in it. So it has
Halo
3, Halo 4.
But like the anniversary one for Halo 1, was that 40?
No, that was 60.
That was 60. So... Huh. That
sure
has that for Halo 2, and then plus all the other stuff.
Yeah.
So.
But, like, what I loved is they showed that cutscene of Halo 2. That's, like, one of the coolest cutscenes of that game. In the beginning when Master Chief takes the Covenant bomb off the platform and uses it to blow. Like, I also loved that they, like, 343 remade the original Mark VI Master Chief suit. I guess it's not original. It's his second one, but... It just showed me that they cared about the original source material, because in Halo 4 they completely redid his suit for just aesthetic reasons.
No, the people that did the cutscenes for Halo 4 did all the ones for the anniversary.
Yeah.
And I think it's Blur Studios, and I love their love their cutscenes, like their animation.
I really love that they're bringing back the Arbiter, because he's a cool character.
For Halo 5.
Okay, so are they having their own game for the Arbiter? Because you showed me that trailer yesterday. That had the Arbiter talking about like.
Oh, I don't know.
No, they're just setting up the story because he's coming.
You're
back.
Right. Okay. You're right. I'm talking about the Halo 5 Guardians one with the Halo 2 cutscene.
But there is going to be the teaser that you saw was the teaser for the terminals in Halo 2 Anniversary.
So it's all interconnected,
which is motion graphics.
It's all interconnected.
Videos.
So yeah, the Master Chief Collection, definitely Halo 5 whenever that comes out. It's going to be freaking sweet. And then the Zelda game, you know, I've made no attempt to conceal that I'm a huge Zelda fan. It's my favorite series. And I think we all love open world stuff. Whenever you have to walk through an area and
not load, everybody does.
Really? Who loves loading screens? Nobody loves loading screens.
That's what I love probably my favorite thing about the next gen is less loading screens.
Yes.
So like Tomb Raider was not really open world. Like it kind of was, but it really wasn't. But
no,
that's,
it wasn't.
But that had no loading screens, and that felt pretty good.
Like I remember the first Harry Potter game I got that you could explore the grounds was the one for the second movie, Chamber of Secrets, and you walk 10 feet, loading screen. Yeah. I had to stop.
Are you talking about the Lego?
No, not the Lego one. Just the normal one. But no, couldn't play it. Just too many loading screens.
That was like the Lord of the Rings too.
Yeah.
Like I've been waiting for this open world. Like
exactly, exactly. Because it's easy to immerse yourself, I think, in the open world. So something like Skyrim, you don't have to wait around and be taken out of the game.
You still had a little loading to go into.
Oh, for Skyrim?
To go into
each
caves.
There was a lot of loading screens for Skyrim.
Yeah. Oh, I guess I just mean like the overworld.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Skyrim as a map, you didn't have to load it all.
That's what I
love
about Unity 2 is, like, I think they said, like 3 out of 4 buildings that you see in Unity you can go into.
That's cool.
And you've never been able to do that
so
before.
You can interact with your environment as opposed to that's just there, it's a landmark, I don't have to worry about that. Also I really liked Splatoon, Nintendo's new IP, like the 4v4
I didn't see that at all.
Online it's kind of like Team Fortress style, I guess.
Yeah.
But it looked really polished, it looked really fun. Basically you shoot ink and you're trying to cover the whole map in ink more than the other person.
Do you think you would play that a lot though?
I at least want to try
it. For a long period of time?
Well, it's kind of like Halo match or Battlefield matchmaking where, you know, it's you just play it to do matches one at a time. It's not like long and engaging, but it...
No, I just mean like if you get it, you play it a week, do you keep playing it for a year?
I think that game, that style game is appeals to me in the same way Mario Kart does where I would just, you know, play it every now and then.
Yeah.
But...
I guess.
Also, the new Super Smash Brothers... Because
I'm debating buying a 3DS for that, or a 2DS rather. Because I'm not gonna buy a Wii U for it, but I'll potentially buy like a 3DS or something.
You want to buy a Game Boy that is like this and can't fold up?
It's much smaller.
It's not that big.
It's like this big.
Yeah, yeah, it's that big.
But yeah, that I'll probably get both versions because that game looks awesome. I think that's it. Just the Halos.
You
can play
with your Mii.
Alien Isolation.
I don't
know.
Because my Mii is not as cool as Link.
Something I expected it more of at E3 this year was virtual reality stuff. Or more... What's the word?
Well, they had the Morpheus.
Oculus Rift stuff. Yeah, the more... Oh, I suppose the PS did talk about the...
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff, but it wasn't main.
Wasn't mainstream?
Yeah.
And yeah, and from what I heard, it's not quite ready.
They're still working on a lot of things.
Yeah, but it's
makes
really
me wonder if Xbox has something in the line then for that.
Maybe.
I mean, if PS... Well, if Sony
I'm
does,
sure they're working
think that
on
they
something,
would.
But...
It's funny how the last gen with, like, the Wii and the PS3 and the Xbox 360, like, when the Wii had the motion controls, the other two companies wanted motion controls, so the PS3 got that wand thing.
That kind of wasn't great.
Yeah, and then the Kinect, and now the next thing is virtual
to me, what I would do is just... I don't know. Maybe they don't want to share, but... I would just make the Oculus work with the Xbox and the Kinect because of the Kinect. They already have the camera.
Yeah,
that's what would make sense.
And track all the trackers on the headset.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That would be cool.
Because they can track your body too. Because that's what the PlayStation have with the Morpheus is the wands or whatever they call them, the moves, and you can kind of do your hands at least. A little bit.
As far as indie stuff, Brandon Jayla, who worked with Freddie W, was a part of an Indiegogo or Kickstarter, one of those two.
Indiegogo, I think.
And it was for like a game with a platform, or
no? It was a control system.
Yeah,
it was called Control VR.
And it was supposed to like supplement something like the Oculus, where you can like it tracks your hands and fingers, so you can play games more virtually. It looked kind of cool.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not quite there yet, but the demo that I liked was the Iron Man, like whoosh.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
The only problem I have with that is when you get that detailed with the controller and it's like your fingers, that you limit yourself on the type of gameplay that you can have.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. And then you're also
a controller, you can kind of get away with.
And then you're also taking a lot of resources to do that too. Like where, you know. You only have a limited amount of resources. Where are you going to put it to?
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's what they yelled about the Kinect. Like,
that's true.
Get rid of it.
Yeah. I think my biggest CPU. Concern with with these, like, moving to using your hands and everything, you know, what's going to happen if you, like, swing a sword at someone else who's also swinging a sword at them? Your swords going to pass through each other kind of thing? Because you're not going to have any sort of haptic feedback making your hand go back this way.
Yeah, you wouldn't have that type of game.
Yeah. Well, I wish you could. That's what I want.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, when the Wii came out.
Well, it would just hit them. It wouldn't stop. You wouldn't have
I want the Matrix.
Pairing.
Anything Let's less, just come out with the Matrix already. Yep. Let's just say we're not in there right now.
Oh, fuck.
So that is everything E3, where the only losers are our wallets and the winners are the gamers.
That's very true.
This last month we saw Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise, his newest film. So we all saw it, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think?
I enjoyed a good portion of it. I liked it a lot. I think the further I got into it, it became pretty predictable. And then I really disliked the ending. The ending I didn't think was very good at all. It felt very kind of like, let's try to find the best way to end it, but then that best way wasn't really much better.
Sure. Are you talking about the very end or the last couple scenes?
The way that they, like, the scene that they went to black on.
Oh. You didn't like that?
No. I thought it was just like, okay, he dies, and then...
Should we just say, like, a lot of podcasts will be like, all right, we're doing spoilers now.
Shit.
Do spoilers. Yeah, it's been like a month.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, we do spoilers.
Okay.
Okay. All right, I gotta
turn off the podcast if you don't want to...
Yeah, get the hell out of here. Ben, I mean, I know what you're saying, but hey, 91% Rotten Tomatoes, you gonna argue with that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I also thought that my biggest gripe with it is that I think that Emily Blunt and Tom Cruise should have switched roles. I think that Emily Blunt should have been the main protagonist and that Tom Cruise
should have been interesting.
Yeah, because, I mean, we're already kind of in that direction where we're wanting to be more progressive with our movie making, having more female protagonists. And there's nothing different about those two characters that Emily Blunt couldn't have been that character and Tom Cruise couldn't have been the established action hero that he already is in the Hollywood scene.
But he can get more box office draw if he's the protagonist. You got to think of it financially, like a producer.
Well, that's true. But I mean, look at Gravity though. Gravity, you know, you had George Clooney, who is kind of on that level, I feel like, of Tom Cruise, but he was the big supporting actor.
It's hard though, because I do like Emily Blunt. Is that her name, right?
Yep.
I haven't seen too many movies of her, like, get really detailed in the subtle acting, because her role was very one tone.
It was.
So it's like, it's hard to think, okay, would she have done good?
Yes.
Where Tom Cruise had a, you know, that's what I actually liked about, like my wife said it, like she liked seeing Tom Cruise like this weak person in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then kind of grow. Like he doesn't really, he just starts like,
I do think
character.
He did a great job.
Yes. Acting. I will say a lot of pros in this movie. Tom Cruise's acting was really, really good. I get, you know, we're at this point now where he's Tom Cruise. Everyone knows what he's like on screen, but I think he had a lot of new subtle things to offer in this film. The action was top notch. It was a lot of fun to watch him kicking ass later in the film once he's trained. And
I thought it was edited well. I enjoyed the first half.
That was my favorite part, was how they progressed the story with the, what do you call it? The, you know, restarting thing.
With him dying.
They had these three separate zones of, it's been too long to think about it, but it started going from the beginning to the end, and then it was middle.
Yep.
And then at the end it was end backwards.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They knew
if
they
you can explain that
they,
better.
They knew, like, cuz every time he dies it's the same thing. So they knew what not to show to make you stay attentive.
Yep.
Like,
exactly.
We don't need to see him start over again
and
again.
They showed a little bit of it, but just enough.
Yeah,
like
just
I thought
enough.
They did a really good job with that.
Yep. But the one thing that I felt like I was slightly misled, because when I first saw the trailer, I thought it was going to be the film was going to be something different. And the reason why is because largely because of the song choice in the trailer, because the song choice, it's this soft, like, haunting melody juxtaposed against the fast invasion of the beach, this action. So I thought it was going to be something a little more psychological.
I was kind of sad. I really liked that trailer song, that trailer music. And it
was like the same trailer as God, what was that movie, The Invasion in L.A.?
Godzilla?
With the aliens. No.
Oh.
It was a really bad movie.
Battlefield
L.A.? Something like that.
Something like that. Yep. With John Travolta?
They had the... John Travolta? No, this is... It was a newer one.
Oh, I'm thinking of a different one.
No, that was... That was like 90s.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think I know what you want to talk
but
about.
But it was just like the same music, same like editing.
Yeah.
And then... It wasn't that at all.
I liked that it wasn't exactly. an action movie. I felt it was more like an adventure.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, and it felt fun. That like, there was a lot of very fun parts to it. Like, it wasn't always, like, down. Like, let's give you as much drama as we possibly can.
Yeah, we sat with somebody
it was
that
comical.
Laughed at everything.
Really?
Yeah. Even though, like, him killing himself over and over. Just like,
hilarious. Me slapping.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, because, like, I just felt like the movie was going to be tackle like I don't know some deeper psychological issues that just because like the soft like haunting song and I felt like when watching the trailer like Tom Cruise is like going into this beach and it's like the invasion will fail. I'm like ooh like there's something that this movie isn't telling me. It's being so mysterious. What is it? But it really wasn't too far out there.
What do you guys think of the monsters as far as how they looked like or the aliens?
I really
or
liked
were.
Them.
Well, I
like
them.
They're very menacing.
I like them, yeah, because like at this point we've all seen a bunch of different fictional aliens. Like, what else can you do? I thought this was a new, interesting take on it.
Just the quick extruding of the new limbs to move forward every time was just I thought very awesome.
Yeah. I did, to your point, the only thing that really bothered me about it, and not very much because I still really like the film, was I felt like the last few scenes, the third act, was a little rushed when they finally figured out where they had to go and what they had to do. They're like, all right, we need a ship and we need a crew. Nah, nah, nah. All right, we'll go. Okay, here's a ship. It's like, the screenwriter's like, we need to get them from A to B fast. Let's go.
Yep.
We're running out of time.
Yeah. And he knew they had to take away his power. Because otherwise he'd just keep restarting.
Yeah,
until
there's
succeeded.
No urgency.
Well, that's a given. But maybe you can help me understand the end. So this is a real spoiler. When he like pretty much dying, falling through towards the monster, has the grenades, gets the blood again, but it resets, but he chooses what is reset and what isn't. Are we just to assume that that's the extra power he gets from the monster?
No, I want to say that it was a bug in the system, a bug in the monster. A bug in the monster.
Wait, help me remember. When the final reset happens, are the aliens dead?
Like, yeah, the aliens are dead. The humanity had won. I honestly think it was just like some sort of fan service. Like, oh, we want to end on a happy ending. We don't want Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt to die.
Because it reset to him being on the helicopter.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like before.
Where he's supposed to be like sleeping and then arriving.
Yeah.
And so doing the invasion hasn't happened yet. The D-Day stuff hasn't occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like that wasn't the cause of them winning. They just died.
Well, yeah.
From the reset.
And so he kills the monster, right? And the monster is supposed to be able to one that controls time.
So it can't sustain itself through the reset because it's dead in the future?
That's my question. Is that mechanically, it should not have ended the way it should have.
Well,
it did.
Think of it this way. If the blood re-got into Tom Cruise and he was able to survive the reset or whatever... Then how come the monster didn't?
Yeah, exactly. Did. That's the point I'm trying to make. Yeah. Is that the monster is what controls time?
Because that's the point of the first one when he blew up the I forgot what they call them the nerve
the alpha
ending. Yeah. So the reason they reset it is so the alpha doesn't die.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's what doesn't make sense to me. So I don't know if I'm missing something.
The omega, right? That's what it's called. The thing. The omega is the thing that controls time, and if that dies.
I guess.
There's no more time controlling.
I guess.
Yeah. That's my problem with it.
Yeah, because there shouldn't have been a reset.
Well, it was the blood. The power is in the blood.
No, the power is in the omega.
No, the power is in the blood.
No, the blood is what connects the omega.
Because he wasn't connected to the omega. That's why they couldn't find him.
Yes, he was. They just couldn't find him because they couldn't pinpoint his location.
We need to go on forums and figure this thing out. You guys, this movie's so deep.
That was my biggest problem.
Okay.
You know, just the lackluster. Like,
sure.
It's just like,
I will say this.
A happy ending.
These aren't the kind of questions we should be asking as an audience. We should be asking.
Why not?
No, because the questions that a good movie makes you ask are questions about our own nature as humans, not whether or not the plot made sense.
I think that's huge. If it takes me out of the reality of the story, and I'm like, why does this matter?
Oh, no. I'm saying it's bad that we're asking these, that we have to ask them. The movies shouldn't make us ask these questions, is what I mean.
I did enjoy it, though.
I think it was a good hero's journey kind of movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the setting or the world wasn't consistent, and that's what brought me out of it.
I will say that they had awesome stunt work, and the suits were really cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were a little clunky.
Yeah.
It didn't make them look that cool, except for the Emily Blunt.
That's because we're used to Spartans and all that stuff.
Yeah. It's always hard. But
everybody has guns, but Emily Blunt has a sword.
Yeah.
And there's a guy in her squad with a skull for extra coolness.
I feel like they were doing an homage to Ghost from Call of Duty. I don't know.
Maybe. It looks similar.
Yeah, they're support troopers.
Yeah.
They all have the mask, yeah.
Cool.
I haven't seen these other two movies that are on the list.
I haven't either. The thing is, okay, so I assume we're going to talk about How to Train Your Dragon 2. Let me just say first up that, okay, good, because I haven't seen the first one yet.
Oh, the first one's great.
Yeah.
You can come back now if you love for spoilers.
Yes, please. If you're listening, come back. I know that they're both really good, and I will see them, but I don't want to know anything about them prior to seeing them.
Transformers 4 is bad. That's all I need to know.
It was still
number one movie in the world. I've seen that.
What?
I saw that.
Every movie says their number one movie.
Yeah. But I mean, I would believe it for Transformers 4 because a lot of the popcorn masses.
Well, if they go
masses,
by like money earned.
Optimus Prime riding a dinosaur is not. I can't get behind that.
That was kind of cool. I'm going to have to say.
But yeah, really? Ben, you don't see these movies.
The scene leading up to why? Was probably the worst scene. the
Ben, you don't see these movies for intellectual reasons.
No, I understand that, and I'm sure that
me and my friend went. Monster movies aren't really robots and explosions.
So I think the reason why people like us still go to see those movies is because some part of it's fun. Don't feel like we're enabling this bad filmmaking behavior, although we kind of are. But oh well.
I want those movies just. You can make those kind of movies, but better.
You can, but the only thing that matters is did you pay to see it? And if the answer is yes, then they're still going to make them.
If there's nothing else,
that's all strategy and marketing. Like, there's nothing else. They'll see this.
But I did enjoy it. I liked the they had good actors this time.
Yeah,
which was nice.
Marky Mark.
I noticed in the trailer there are American flags everywhere. Was that in the movie too?
It was terrible.
Wow.
And the marketing product placement was just. we told you about this scene, but what was it? Oh yeah, Bud Light.
Yeah.
So like a truck, Bud Light truck crashes and Bud Light goes everywhere. The blue cans,
blue
the
cans?
Bottles. The bottles, the bluish color. And they were like in this ship thing that fell on a car, and the guy like they land on gets out, and he's like, "What do you? I hope you have insurance." And Marky picks up a Bud Light, smashes the top off onto the car, and chugs it, and throws it on the ground. And I don't know, just said some stupid, ridiculous like we're in a.
Just like
spaceship.
Like I just laughed so much because like I'm picturing it, and it's just like.
Yeah. Well, it was like it was like those Coca-Cola commercials where they're like, off to the side chugging it. Yep. That's what he did.
Holding the label out towards the camera.
Exactly, and even the Transformers now, like there's
certain logos on their exoskeleton.
Who's the Asian actor from? He was in Godzilla recently.
The guy that Christopher Nolan uses all the time.
Yeah,
I don't know his name.
Let's just call him that guy.
Whatever. He voiced one of the Transformers, and it was he was
he one of the
in human
ones?
Form. He was a samurai, but
of course
his car was a Bugatti, and it was just right on his chest when he was in human form.
Why wouldn't it be like a Japanese car, like a GTR,
like a Honda?
Yeah, like a Lexus GTR would have been perfect.
Yeah.
That's really funny. Just all this ridiculous product placement.
Yeah. And obviously, like my friend said, like Michael Bay's really good at objectifying women and showing it that way.
So the main hot girl in this one, she's 19 in real life, but played a 17-year-old. Is that how that went? Okay.
Yep.
But the protagonist this time isn't like a love interest. It's not a love interest thing. It's his daughter.
Yeah. It's a father-daughter. Her mom's dead. And then there's a boyfriend.
Did Michael Bay still objectify her despite us having to look at her as a daughter, not a love interest?
Just, you know, short shorts, blonde hair, puffy lips. You know,
gotcha. And she's a Victoria's Secret model, isn't she?
No.
Because... No?
No, that was the previous one.
Oh, that was the one before?
The one where like Megan Fox was
So at least he didn't do that again.
Yeah.
But
Michael Bay is doing the new TMT movie, right? Or Teenage Mutant.
Yeah.
So Megan Fox is in that one too.
Yes, she's April.
But he threw off Megan Fox off the set for Transformers 3.
Really?
Yeah, because she was being really bitchy. That's the reason why she wasn't in Transformers 3. They replaced her because she was being crappy.
What happened then? Maybe the producers were like, there's just too much draw. She's just too hot.
Yeah. We gotta have her back.
We'll bring her back for Teenage Mutant Ninja.
She's too hot. Dude, I just want to see that movie now just for that Bud Light scene.
Yeah. It was awesome.
It reminds me of Jack and Jill, where every scene is just like ridiculous product placement. Like they'll be like drinking Pepto-Bismol with like the label out or something. I don't know.
That's funny.
What else? Oh, and they did like set up the story though, like
for a sequel.
That, but just really, I haven't read the comics or anything, so I didn't know a lot of this. But I won't spoil that.
Okay.
So you move to How to Train Your Dragon 2. It was good.
Was it as good as the first one?
Wasn't as good, I think. I think there was just, it was still good, but I think a lot of with the sequels, they try to put too much stuff. They try to make the universe too big.
Yeah.
Too many characters.
I can see that.
So it's just all over the place, and supporting all these extra characters, and not focusing on the main one.
The classic disaster sequel I keep referencing is Pirates of the Caribbean: Dead Man's Chest. Exactly. It did the same thing.
Like three main characters.
Yeah. In the first one, it was like, okay, here's the port, the main port. Here's our home base. Here's the ship. Here's the Pirate Cove. Those are the locations. And we just go back and forth. Then the second one, it was like, all right, we got the Kraken. We got the Davy's Locker. We got all this crazy shit. The East India Trading Company. And like, there's just too many things happening that you have to keep track of.
Exactly. So that was my biggest complaint about it. But I did enjoy it. It was, dragons were fun.
Mm-hmm.
Cool scenes.
Yeah. Gerard Butler is still in it, right?
What?
Gerard Butler is still in it?
Yeah.
Gerard Butler?
Gerard? Is that what it is?
Gerard.
I thought it was Gerald.
Gerald?
Gerald. Are you talking about Leonidas from 300?
Yes.
His name's Gerard.
Gerard. I'll learn this now.
Is Gerald even a name?
Gerald. I don't know. Fuck it.
Do you guys see the trailer for Fury, the new Brad Pitt film?
Yes.
That looks amazing.
Yeah. Does it?
You didn't like it?
I just didn't know where it was going.
Okay.
It just seemed like another World War II movie that just
I thought that at first, but I think it's an interesting take on it.
I did like the characters.
Take on it?
The buttons. I did like the characters and the idea of having the film center around just inside the tank and just the action involved, but it's just like, I don't know if it's based on a real story or not, but just like, they're the only tank and they gotta fight an army.
That's
like,
true.
Just like,
is true. That is very cliche. So I take that point. And also, at this point, we've seen 300, 800,000, whatever, World War II movies. Ever since Band of Brothers came out, I feel like we could have capped it.
Yep.
And all right, let's move on. Which was 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago. And
that's what Call of Duty did too.
Yeah.
Like,
the World War II Call of Duty games were good. But after that,
I liked them. But yeah, I feel like, well, Saving Private Ryan and then, by extension, Band of Brothers. Like, that was, I think, to me, like, the peak of the World War II, and everything else is kind of...
Well, what
like,
World War II movies have come out besides then? Inglourious Basterds came out, which was also really good.
That was not...
I understand that maybe it's a little bit different.
But see, his
films are on their own.
That's not the same because it's in a completely different category. That was his...
And it was a fake...
Yes, but it was also Tarantino's spaghetti Western film.
Yeah.
So it was like the story you'd see in a Western put in World War II.
Okay, but what other World War II movies have come out? A Souvenir or whatever.
Give me 2 seconds. Came out.
I didn't think that was pretty good. I did not think it was good. Granted, I didn't see it, but yeah, I can't speak.
A lot. I'm going to look them up.
Really?
Look them up.
I really don't feel like there has been a lot that came out.
You can hear my
clicky clack. What are the movies that are coming out this month, July?
Oh, did you guys see, this is before Saving Private Ryan, or maybe it was the same year. Did you guys see The Thin Red Line?
Mm. Yeah.
I didn't, but it has a lot of big name actors in it.
Was that Owen Wilson, or was that a different movie?
This one is Sean Penn and a few other people. But, hold on. Anyway, I thought Fury looked really good. Anyone else know what's coming out next month that looks really good?
I'm trying to look at it right now. Yeah, because we gotta pick a movie.
We do.
I think once we get enough people,
Hercules.
Once we get enough people looking at
that, looks so freaking stupid. It tells you that the trailer for Hercules with The Rock tells you everything in the trailer. So I don't know if we're. I'm not gonna vote for that one, but I will say I'd be down for seeing something that's less actiony because we've been seeing a lot of action stuff lately.
Dawn of the Planet of Apes.
That's actually
looks good. Ooh, that looks really good. That's Weta still, right? Doing that one?
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy comes out August 1st.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one.
Do you guys follow
Lucy?
Echo looks stupid.
That's more actiony though.
Okay.
The Expendables 3.
Sweet mother. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say Galaxy, but...
Okay.
Eventually we'll have our audience pick this for us.
Planet of Apes probably more drama than Galaxy.
Plus, is it still Andy Serkis playing Caesar?
Mm-hmm.
Man,
he has a studio.
Really?
I don't know what it's called. They're doing Star Wars.
It looks so good.
They do all the mocap.
Oh, J.J. Abrams isn't doing episode 8 or 9. He's just doing 7.
I think no way.
I like when he... He does that a lot where he starts something and like kicks off the direction and be like, all right, it's good now. I trust you guys. Take it over.
The guy who's taking over is the director of Looper. And it's pretty great. Like when the news got out about this, he tweeted out this scene from Apollo 13. I think it's from Apollo 13. And then one of the astronauts is saying, like, dear God, don't let me fuck this up. And Houston's saying, like, what was that you said? Everything's fine up here. And Houston's like, that's what I thought you said.
Another thing I just saw in a magazine, Steven Spielberg has a new, like, sci-fi movie coming out with Halle Berry.
Really?
Hmm.
I forgot what it was called.
Hmm. I didn't see that. I didn't know that was happening.
Okay, well, I don't know. I'll have to get back to you on that one. But...
Interstellar is coming out soon.
Yes. Soon. That will probably have to be a month.
Documentary that I'm excited for. Video games. The movie about video games.
Is that like indie game?
No, just
all
history
of video games.
All
encompassing. That's what I was trying to find. Anyway, yeah, maybe we can just cap it there.
Yeah, sure. So thanks again for everybody tuning in. My name's Ben. Wade, Lee. Thanks for joining us.